Well, I survived a Bible class from the Old Testament, and I survived the AM sermon from the Old Testament, and neither one got into the book of Daniel. So we did okay. As soon as Joe said, we're going to be in the Old Testament, I was like, oh no, we're going to have singing this afternoon. So if you would, open your Bibles to the first chapter of Daniel. We'll spend most of our time in the book of Daniel. Daniel was a godly man. He was worthy of our examination. He obtained power in the world during his lifetime and was still able to keep God first throughout all the days of his life above anything else. Daniel was distinguished among the children of Israel. We see in Daniel 1, verses 3 through 6. Daniel 1, 3 through 6. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them daily provisions of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel gained power among the wise men of Babylon in verses 17 through 20. Of chapter 1, we read, As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had the understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said there should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. He was esteemed so much by the king that he was put over all of Babylon and the Medo-Persian Empire, as you can see throughout the book of Daniel. A close look at Daniel's life reveals his secret to his worldly success. He may have been successful in worldly achievements, he may have been very powerful, but no matter what power he had, God was always first. The law of God was always put first in his life, no matter where he was. This afternoon, we'll look at some characteristics that Daniel possessed that allowed him to walk with God while being powerful and what we would deem successful on this earth. First, Daniel was a man of purpose. In Daniel 1 and 8, we read, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Number one, Daniel was faced with violating God's law by eating the king's food, drinking the king's wine. As a teenager, he purposed in his heart that he would uphold God's law. Teenagers, very important. Daniel decided early in his life that he was going to walk the path of God. As we get on our phones and our social media, when we're at school around our friends, you have to purpose in your heart where you're going to stand. When you're on social media looking at what you're looking at, seeing the messages that you're seeing, posting what you're posting, you are advertising what you're all about. And what you're taking into yourselves is either poison or it's going to be good for you, one way or the other. You have to make that decision. And there is a clear decision that we all make. Because of Daniel's willingness to put God first, God granted him favor among people. In Daniel 1 and 9, now that God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Every child of God needs to be a person of purpose. No one respects wishy-washy people who say they stand for one thing and then 10 minutes later are not standing, they won't defend, and they are running from an actual discussion. We have to have guts. We have to be able to stand and stick with our beliefs. And what should our stance be as a Christian? You can see in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has a couple of parables. There's a parable of the hidden treasure. There's a parable of the pearl of great price. In both of these parables, the people that are mentioned sold everything they had for one specific goal. They had one thing in mind. That's all they wanted. That was the most important thing in their lives, and they abandoned all else. Matthew 6 and 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We are to seek God and his will and live it to the best of our ability all the days of our lives, no matter what it cost us. No matter how young you may be, it is never too early for a person to seek the will of God and to be taught to stand for the Lord. If we do not purpose in our hearts early in our lives to follow the will of God, as we grow older, that path is going to be hard to find. As you grow older, you get stuck in your ways. You may have habits that you would have to completely change. You may have things that you have to completely abandon. I have a friend who's a couple years older than me. He waited until he was like 36 or 37 to get married. Had a lot of habits he had to change once he decided to get married. A lot of habits that he had to break. Not so much video game playing anymore when he was married and had a full-time job and things like that. If we wait until we are older to follow the path of God, we may have a hard time finding that path. Secondly, Daniel was a man of principle. In addition to refusing to eat the king's meat and drink his wine, in Daniel 1 and 8, he also refused the gifts from Belshazzar. He could not be bought. In Daniel 5, verses 16 and 17, Daniel 5, we'll read verses 16 and 17. "And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretations, you shall be clothed in purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him his interpretations." Under the threat of death, capital punishment, Daniel refused to obey the decree of King Darius to worship his idol. In Daniel 6 and 10, we read, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with the windows open toward Jerusalem, knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." People admire a person of principles. Faithful Christians, we should be people of principles. Many times we may get made fun of. You even call it persecution, be verbal persecution from people, buddies that you work with or acquaintances that you may know. They may go, "Oh, well, we know you're not going to go out with us, or we know that you're not going to do this, or, you know, you're just old fuddy-duddy." But in reality, and this has happened to me, be ridiculed by one person, and then when they're in trouble, who do they call? Well, they call the person that they know is not drunk and hungover on Friday night to come pick them up because their car broke down. They call people that they know that are trustworthy that when they need help. And that will end up being a person of principle, which should be us as Christians. Most importantly, God will stand with those who stand by him. The 15th Psalm, verses 1 through 5 reads, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks in truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Not only is society in need of people with principles, but the church is in need of people with principles, people who will never sway, people who will walk the path as Daniel and take a stand no matter what it costs, people that will never negotiate the truth of God. Thirdly, Daniel was a man of purity. Daniel's opponents, Daniel's co-workers, the people around Daniel, basically in their eyes, his rival, tried to find fault with Daniel. In Daniel 6, 3 and 4, we read, Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error found in him. No doubt that Daniel's purity in his business affairs was related to his convictions in following God's law. He was a man of principle and could be trusted above all his peers. As Christians, we should be regarded as the most trusted employees, as the most trusted peers in the places of our business dealings. Finally, this afternoon, Daniel was a man of prayer. We see a glimpse of Daniel's prayer life in verse 10 of chapter 6. We read it once already, so I'll just read part of the verse. Daniel 6 and 10. With his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. Number one, Daniel knelt as a demonstration of humility. We also see in the verse that he prayed three times. That was his pattern. Now, does that mean he only prayed three times? Probably not. But he knew that those three times he was going to pray each day. If you look at the last few words of that verse, of verse 10 of chapter 6, it says, this was his custom since early days. This was a habit. He didn't just start this because there was a decree signed. He didn't just start this last week. This had become a habit. This is something that he'd been doing for years. He gave thanks to God in the midst of persecution. He knew the decree had been signed. He knew trouble was coming his way, and he still was praying to God. Him praying this much also should demonstrate to us, as successful as he was in this world, he did not leave God. A lot of times when we're having trouble or when others are having trouble, they come running to God. But when things are going good, where are we? Where is everyone else? If everything is great, if we're on the high of highs, making all the money, doing all the good in the world, are we still praying? Are we still leaning on God? And you can see through Daniel, he still was leaning on God even though he was successful. Christians would do well to follow Daniel's example of his prayer for life. We have to learn the importance of having a regularly scheduled prayer life. Do we pray in the mornings? Do we pray at lunchtime? Do we pray in the evening time before dinner? Do we pray before bed? What is our pattern? It is hard to get in a habit if we can't create a pattern. If your life is always chaos, in the last few weeks I've been trying to get back to exercising in the mornings. Well, when fronts are blowing through and it's going to rain all day and I have to feed, there's only certain times that I can feed, because I can't feed when it's raining, because then you're just wasting money because the feed gets wet. So it's hard to create a habit when I have a hard time setting a pattern due to weather and my other chores that I have to be doing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18, we're told to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In Colossians 4 and 2, we're told to continue earnestly in prayer and be vigilant with thanksgiving. We must pray with humbleness of heart. See the tax collector in Luke 18 and 13. He won't even raise his eyes to heaven, but he beats his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We must accept God's will in our prayer. And this came to me and I saw it and it really kind of clicked with me. We'll read Matthew 26 chapter of Matthew, read verses 38 and 39. Matthew 26, 38 and 39. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face, praying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So this is Jesus praying before he's about to be tortured, before he's about to be hung on the cross, and he still is putting God's will before his own. If Jesus is putting God's will first, how can we do any less? From a teenager to an adult, Daniel dedicated his life to the will of God. Whether he was in a lion's den or ruling a kingdom, God was always first. Daniel was a man of purpose, a man of principle, a man of purity, and a prayerful man. How about you today? Is the kingdom of God first in your life? Are you as faithful as Daniel was? Are you a child of God? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Jesus was sent to this earth to prepare a way for us, and his death, burial, and resurrection gives us hope. But without the obedience of baptism, we have no hope. We'll be lost in our sins. If you have need, please come as we stand and sing.